Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, Alec Medford, and the return of the famous Mike Bassick.
All the autographs I had to sign in Oakland. Jeez.
Was it more than three?
Yes. One guy wanted eight, so I guess.
What?
Yeah, I signed all eight. It was the last day. I felt bad for the guy.
Whole family's getting some Mike Bassick stuff for Christmas this year.
They're excited. You. You're the one who has
there's, there's new autographs on me on eBay from the San Francisco, Oakland area. I know who it was.
Lot of eight. Yeah. Okay.
But man, baseball season's over now. And that's the, like, now we get Mike every day for the rest of the year.
It's football time in Texas.
Yeah.
Won't Mike only be here for a week and then he's gone again?
I have no clue what his schedule is, Kevin.
That's the truth. The Cowboys are on a winning streak.
Hell yeah, they are. That is the kind of enthusiasm I was hoping for. Let's start out with this. Cowboys' problems thus far, in which is most fixable? Then we can dive into the injuries because we got some more updates about that. Hopefully we'll get even more from Stephen Jones coming up at noon. But I want to get the feedback from the Franklin Franklin Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube. What do you think are the Cowboys' biggest issues? And then maybe we can figure out which ones, if any, you think are fixable along the way.
One of the ones that I think is killer right now is that your left tackle is playing like a rookie.
Yeah.
And that is, I think it's fixable, but probably not truly until next year, because he's going to run up against really good defensive ends and he's going to be in his own head for a little while. But he's got some things that he desperately needs to get right so that they can continue drives. Every time you felt like you had something good going, you felt like he was going to either give up a sack, give up a pressure, or have a false start or a hold that screwed the team over in the last game.
I know it's only been four games, but based off of that, can I just ask a question? Through four games, I'm not saying anything about the rest of his career or anything like that. Do you think Tyler Guyton has been disappointing so far?
Yes. Through four games, he has been disappointing. He's gotten better at some things and looked very flawed at other things. Then the next one that affects the running game.
Yeah.
So the next one's the running game. I don't know if that can be fixed because there doesn't seem to be a true commitment to it by the ownership, by the coaches, by the players to really fix that. So I don't know if that can be fixed this year. I think you're going to settle for whatever Rico Dowdle gives you. And then, like, for whatever reason, they don't want to go with Dalvin Cook. And then Dalvin Cook's starting to get frustrated about not playing, so there's that going on. And then edge. Right now you have Carl Lawson's getting promoted to defensive end. And you have Marshawn Nealon, Micah being hurt, and DeMarcus Lawrence. Those three right there are my biggest problems for the Cowboys right now. And two of them I don't think you can fix at the moment.
Okay. Mike?
Yeah.
Good start. Mike, do you agree with those problems? Is there anything else you want to add on? And then I'll throw in potentially problems as well.
I think everything in a way is playing out, not in the most negative way. They are 2-2. The division is...
This division sucks.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Washington.
Yeah. Boy, that coach you guys hated, he ain't that bad, is he?
Not us.
Thunder Dan Quinn.
How
many Cowboy fans were like, oh, thank God we got rid of him. And Mike Zimmer's the solution to all of our problems.
You're absolutely right about
that. I think Dan Quinn took over the worst defense in NFL history and turned it into something good.
I'm not here to argue with you at all.
I think Guyton will get better. The confidence I have there is the Cowboys develop offensive linemen. Can I ask this question off of Guyton? And are you guys happy with BB?
I think so. I thought he probably played his best game of the year in this last one.
Do you think he's playing better than Guyton?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gave up, I think it was 19 pass snaps, gave up zero pressure, something along those lines this week, which was the first time he hadn't given up a pressure.
Okay.
And he's looking better in the running game. He's growing, and I think you're going to have a center for a long future now, and he looks good right now.
I don't know what they're going to do at defensive end. Like, the offense doesn't look like it can carry the team, and now for the next 2 to 6 weeks, and I don't know, like,
that's perhaps even longer.
Right.
Like, so, if you missed it, Steven was on, gave a couple updates with G-Bag on Friday. We will talk with him again at noon, but Micah was described as week to week, and then the news came out this weekend that DeMarcus Lawrence looks like he won't need surgery. However, he might still be out 4 to 8 weeks with the Liz Frank injury, which, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, that was literally the injury that you said, I just hope it's not this.
Yeah, that was his rookie year. That's what happened to him, and there's been concerns about that over his career. And then I told you on Friday, I was like, man, I just hope it's not that. And here we are. Damn it.
I might have talked to somewhat of a medical expert about that situation.
Oh.
He has no clue. I mean, he knows who DeMarcus Lawrence is and everything, but he's like, yeah, he might not play the rest of this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen too many players have that injury early in their career, and they're not the same player you expect them to be. DeMarcus Lawrence has had a pretty good career. Pretty good.
Yeah.
But I've seen other players have it happen late in their career, and they're just... Hakeem Nicks is the first one I always go to. Never looked the same. For his position, obviously, you got to be able to do a lot of things with your speed. But for DeMarcus Lawrence, it's going to be a struggle to get back if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to lose a whole bunch of games now. I don't know that. The good news is it looks like 9 or 10 wins is going to be enough for this division.
I could see that.
But at the same time, they have major issues that I don't know if they can overcome to be an above average team this year.
So the fact that y'all listed stuff and I thought, oh, we can add some more to that. That's probably not what you want, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of hoping we'd all be like, well, these are our three problems and let's fix them. The penalties. Man, oh, man. And this continues to be a thing year after year after year. Cowboys were second in penalties committed and accepted going into that Giants game. Then they had 11 penalties in the first three quarters. So
we're first now?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's not ideal. I mean, of all the categories.
Good to be number one at something.
Yeah. I don't know if that is the one I would pick. And then missed tackles. And so when you think about, I don't know, maybe this is too much of a simplification. When you think about an undisciplined team, don't you think, hey, our team's not good at not committing penalties or missing tackles? Don't you think like, well, that doesn't sound like a very fundamentally sound team right there. And before anybody is like, it's only been four games, I'm comparing this to every other team in the league that has also played that sample size.
If you're Mike McCarthy, do you walk in and go, guys, we're number one in penalties right now. But that doesn't mean we're going to be number one all season, all right? So we got to really work hard to keep it up.
No, no, you don't want to be number one.
It could change in an instant, guys. So which way do you want it to go?
Optimistic Mike is back.
Thank God. Okay.
Are you ready for Optimistic Mike?
Hit me.
The missed tackle situation, not tackling, does it help you guys out at all? I don't know if you watch Sunday Night Football, but the Buffalo Bills could not tackle the Baltimore Ravens.
It's true.
As I think Derrick Henry ran for 1,000 yards last night.
And his first carry.
Does it help at all that stat going one of the teams you played was Baltimore with Henry and Lamar Jackson? I'm just trying to be optimistic.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I get there's tackles against the Giants where you're like, I think we should have made that tackle. And luckily, the Giants are the Giants. They can't score touchdowns. So even though they scored 5 times, they couldn't score a touchdown. So you won the game. So I look at it and go, yeah, I don't think they're a very good tackling team and probably not going to get better with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons out. But one of the games was against maybe the toughest team to tackle in the run game.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point.
I'm just trying to be optimistic.
That's fair.
The missed tackles part, I think the league is not tackling well right now.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly how to explain it other than, again, no preseason. These guys aren't ready and prepared to be physical never
practiced,
right now.
I mean, honestly, they don't practice tackling until the first game of the season.
Yeah, to be a physical team, you have to practice tackling. That is something like, otherwise you stand there and you like hesitate before you level somebody.
If there are any bouncy balls, though, if a team ever brought out a big bouncy ball, they'd tackle the crap out of that thing. I've seen them wrap up those bouncy balls in Oxnard like there's no tomorrow.
So trying to figure out how they ramp up that in practice when they don't do as much of that is curious to me, because I know that Zimmer wants to say, all right, let's get a practice out here and I'm going to run their asses into the ground. And they're going to be afraid of not tackling. But I don't know how you do that with the limitations they have now. You should have set that precedent in training camp. You should have set it in the preseason, and then you walk into the season like this. They're trying to build from like the first game is preseason, and they're trying to build from there.
Now, on the run defense front, you saw 3 games of just what felt like the worst run.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo,
the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling,
"Come on, move!"
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Defense that has ever existed. I don't think that is statistically backed up, but it felt like it. And then against the Giants, you allow the sixth lowest yards per carry in the history of the franchise. Are you encouraged by that? And you're like, let's see it in at least two more games. Or are you thinking it's the Giants?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like, it's a both. You have to say, damn fine job doing what you did against any NFL team, no matter who it
That's
is.
That's fair.
You have to say that. Now you got to go back and look at the film and say, what did we do right? Why were we good at it? Was it because Mozzie was better? Mozzie was better.
Oh,
was
for sure.
It because he just had a great mismatch across the line, or because he actually did the crap that we've been asking him to do for the last 3 weeks, for the last year and a half now? Because if that's the case, he's actually doing it, then you ride him this entire time and say, you know what? You just made an A, son. Now you know that you can make an A. I'm not letting you make another B because you've proven you can do it again. So if that's the first part, is you acknowledge it, figure out what you did right, and then also acknowledge that, yeah, that was that opponent. Whenever you have another opponent like that, you got to step it up another level. Whenever you have the Baltimore Ravens, whenever you have another team that can run like that, you step it up to the next place, because we're going to need even more out of you than what we saw against the Giants.
When we talk to Stephen Jones, I mean, it doesn't have to be Hassan Reddick. It can be whoever the hell you want. Do you anticipate the Cowboys looking for outside help? Or if they do, will it be the same kind of outside help as Carl Lawson, etc.?
Yes, that's okay. If they're looking outside, it's going to be, I mean, it's a scrap heap right now anyway. Like, that's what you're just hoping you can find a guy. But if Mike, we've been talking about trying to trade for a running back all season. You might have other positions that are more important.
I guess this is my question back to you guys. Do you believe in this team this season?
Nope.
And if you answer it that way, I don't think I want to give up any of my future assets, draft
Jerry
picks.
Jerry does. Jerry told Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton last week, I believe in the personnel. I believe in this. He believed in everything. He said it. So if he does, then he's giving up those assets for it, even if we don't believe in it.
That's an interesting point. That is a really interesting point. I don't, because I thought about specifically Hassan Reddick, just because he's like the big name out there and he's a double-digit sack machine.
That you have to pay.
That's true. That the Cowboys have plenty of salary cap space. They have draft assets if they wanted to figure it out. But I'm sitting here thinking, no, I don't view Hassan Reddick as like, look out. Now here we come. I'm like, okay, well now we can probably weather the storm better. But I still don't think this looks like a great football team.
I was getting to talk to Chris Young during the road trip, and general manager of the Rangers, if you don't know, if you're kind of listening here for just football, and I'm not going to say most of what we talked about, but listening to him talk, and I get, he just was the general manager of a team that went under 500. He's going to do everything possible to get the Rangers back to above 500 and into the playoffs. He has a budget to work with. I know there's no salary cap, but there's a cap. Each team has a cap. But I listened to him, and I'm not friends at all with Jerry Jones. Don't ever want to be friends with Jerry Jones. But you listen to Jerry speak publicly, and somewhat not to us, but we hear what he might say to people he knows better.
Sure.
I don't think he's really going to work very hard to make this thing better. He doesn't work hard during spring break, because it's spring break, and that's when you should probably be working your hardest. Right now, Chris Young needs to be working his hardest from today until, let's just say, January 1st, maybe even up to February 15th, to try to make the team better. That's your off season. Yes, winning the off season guarantees you nothing, but winning the off season gives you a better opportunity to win in the season. Jerry quits the offseason. So if he totally quits the offseason, why is he going to work hard during the season?
I don't see it either. I'm with you on that. By the way, a couple of people have texted in. I realize we say Tolo, turn it on, leave it on. Maybe you can't listen at every single part. We talked about this in the crosstalk. But if you just tuned in for our show, very, very sad news. Dikembe Mutombo has passed away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. And we were talking about, like, everybody knows the personality and the not today, ha ha, the finger wag. But he's also four-time defensive player of the year, a very memorable NBA player, and very sad.
Didn't he tell Michael Jordan at the All-Star game that he dunked on everybody except for him? And then Michael Jordan in the next game they played against each other went out and dunked on him and was like, all right, now I got you.
Okay.
Like, that's one of those fun stories where he was like, you're not ever going to do that to me. You haven't postered me up.
And he's like, the hell I won't.
And I do think I remember this, obviously, when they do NBA, and I'm sure he does more than this. Like, I think Dikembe Mutombo gave a lot back. And so what I mean by not blocking shots and stuff, but I think that he did a lot in his personal life to try to help out others.
Yeah. No, that is a big deal that sometimes it feels like gets lost to. Yeah, but did you win the tournament? Like, did you win the game? Did you win the tournament? That sometimes it feels like then you're vindicated for all those other things, as opposed to, hey, did you help out all these communities and stuff like that?
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what was the most impressive team performance or surprising result of the NFL weekend? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Snap, Hennessy, hold, Morstead, 50-yarder! No good! Knuckleball!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. That would facilitate the Broncos captivating 10-9 victory over the New York Jets.
Did you just say captivating sarcastically?
And they took our saying, hey, can we play that end? The end of the game?
Knuckleball!
That's awesome.
That is.
They gave us a shout out.
Explain that real quick for people that don't know.
That's a good point. That is a very limited
joke.
Mike,
a couple years ago in Oxnard, he started saying knuckleballs instead of high five to everybody. And as a station, we decided, you know what? We're going to keep doing this. And so every morning, Bobby comes in and gives us a knuckleballs. Ruben always gives us knuckleballs. And we knuckleballs each other. So if you see us out in the world, knuckleballs us.
Now, Corey, you might think this is sarcastic. I'm going to give it a shot nonetheless.
Right.
I am the most impressed at Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos that they were able to win that game. Consider this.
Yeah, man, he had a Quincy Carter game.
It is amazing that they won that game. When you factor this in the first half, Bo Nix had negative 7 yards passing. He became the first player in the NFL since at least, and that means they're like, that's the only time we started taking these stats. It could be longer, since at least 1991, to have negative passing yardage in any half with at least 5 completions. So I believe he had 7 completions maybe for negative 7 yards. That's a thing that actually happened. He had a 48% completion percentage, which is worse than his previous low of 57%. He completed eventually on the day. He turned it around. Really took off in the second half. He had 12 of 25 passes completed for 60 yards and 1 touchdown. Now here's the optimism for the Bo Nix. That is the fewest passing yards in a Broncos win since John Elway's first career game in 1983. Will Bo Nix have as good of a career from here on out as John Elway?
Yeah. I mean, I guess based on the stats you just gave.
Okay.
Because hold on. That was Bo Nix. That was John Elway's first game.
First game.
Probably not then.
Okay.
Because this took 4 games to get there.
This is maybe the most amazing statistic you'll hear all week. Cortland Sutton caught 3 passes.
SMU.
That's right. In this game for 60 yards.
Yeah. And a touchdown.
That's true. Which means Bo Nix's 9 other completions to 6 other receivers went for 0 yards.
It didn't make sense looking at the box score.
0 yards on 9 completions to 6 other people. So it wasn't like he just checked down to the same person every single time. It was 6 different people. They got a total of 0 yards.
What does this say about Aaron Rodgers?
Man.
Washed.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this, though. Denver's defense is awesome. Like, they are really, really good. Okay? Go look at how they've been just... They've been crippling everybody lately. So I will give them that. But he couldn't figure it out. They couldn't get anything going. So yeah, he's not the same dude.
I'm ready to admit something.
Okay.
If I had a vote today.
Oh yeah. Worst team in the NFL?
No.
Oh.
I'm voting Sam Darnold the MVP of the NFL.
Hell yeah! Let's talk about it.
So if you're asking for impressive, most impressive.
Yes.
Sam Darnold's the MVP of the NFL.
Is
they're 4-0, and he is really good. I can't believe it. I shunned you the last time I was here on the air, which was last Friday. I'm done. This 27-year-old Sam Darnold is it. He is the best quarterback in the NFL in 2024 and cannot be stopped.
He only needed... 7 years into his career.
Yeah.
And 4 different stops.
Pick up Sammy D's.
Yeah, to finally get it. But, Kevin, I mean, you point out he's the first quarterback to win and have 2 or more passing touchdowns in each of his first 4 games with a team in the Super Bowl era.
It's weird that, like, you have these 2 undefeated teams, and if you told me they're going to be anchored by Patrick Mahomes and Sam Darnold, and one would have 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and be 3rd in QBR.
And first in rating.
Yes. And the other one would have 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and be 17th in QBR. I would have said, I could see that. And then when you told me it was Darnold that had all the good stats and Mahomes who didn't, what the hell is going on?
You know, the whole year that the Vikings, they ended up losing a Dable and the Giants in that playoff game. But that whole year, people kept saying the Vikings are fraudulent. The Vikings are fraudulent. And right now, I don't think that they are fraudulent. I think that Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach. I think that Kirk Cousins that year was a fraudulent quarterback. Like, he's good enough to do certain things, not good enough to do others. Sam Darnold is just realizing himself right now with Kevin O'Connell, who's a fantastic coach. They have a really good defense. Brian Flores' defense, what did you call it, Alec? Alec's busy right now. But Brian Flores' defense is fantastic. What's the nickname that you gave Brian Flores there the other day?
He's the boogeyman.
The boogeyman. I love the boogeyman nickname.
He's coming to get you.
And so, like, their whole team, the way it is right now, it's built properly. It's the right way to build a team, and they're rolling. It's very impressive.
Minnesota.
I think they might go to the Super Bowl.
And if you're Matt LaFleur right now, don't you got to be thinking, why did I even start Jordan Love? Malik Willis is the best option.
If you like stats, not necessarily all good stats. If you like stats, Jordan Love came to play yesterday. He was like, you want 4 touchdowns? No problem. You want 3 interceptions? Got it. You want me to throw all of the passes? No problem. Minnesota.
Sounds like a Cowboys playoff game.
I could see that. Minnesota has trailed for 3 minutes and 26 seconds all season. It is astonishing, but also they kind of, I know we'll talk about this a little bit later.
Yeah.
They kind of followed the track of the Alabama-Georgia game. So they were winning 28-0. And then Green Bay just makes this furious comeback. They've got an onside kick at the end of the game to attempt to get down there and kick the game-winning field goal. Not successful, but they only lose by 2 points after trailing 28-0.
This is impressive.
Most impressive.
The one that I jotted down, I want to say Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, but I'm not.
Gross.
That was
impressive. CJ Stroud.
The best team in the division.
CJ Stroud in a lackluster game against the Jaguars, and he somehow pulls it out at the end of the game. Nico Collins has a massive game. 12 catches, 151 yards. Mike, you know, I know you were asking about Tank Dell earlier in the season. Nico Collins is ripping it up right now.
Yeah, I got a Tank Dell like redemption card from Panini, like an autograph. So I was like, is this going to be worth anything? Could he be like the guy there?
Maybe so. Let's go to cut number 12. And this was the end of the game that you were talking about.
A play fake. Stroud on the move. A good touchdown! The former Jaguar, Dare Ogunbowale.
He just had to get away from Trevor Lawrence.
Man.
He sucks.
Yeah, they would probably fit in the least impressive team performances, and that's been an issue.
He threw two touchdowns yesterday.
He did, and it looked like for a little bit that they might actually win that game, and then I would have to look.
He only got sacked once.
And he trevered it.
If the Texans followed up getting throttled the week before with losing to the Jags, then I would really have had to rethink my idea of just how good this Texans team is. But they end up winning. They beat a Jacksonville team that is terrible.
I was really impressed watching that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was tight. It was tense. And they were able to make it happen. They were able to get that done. So I was impressed with
they
that.
They needed that win.
Help me out here. Maybe this is Mike Ask All the Football Questions because we're talking about something else right now. But they're going to run away with that division, right?
I think so.
Like all the other teams stink.
I really do. Yeah. If you
Tennessee's going to stink it up tonight. And probably lose to, I don't even know who's quarterbacking Jim Carrey tonight. I don't know.
I don't think you can lose the Dolphins right now. I really don't think it's possible.
The Majestic.
No, what was the movie where the guy misses the field goal?
Oh, Ace Ventura.
Yeah, Ace Ventura's quarterbacking tonight. Tennessee will still lose.
What about, do the Colts do anything for you then? I know Anthony Richards.
Hold on, who's starting? The great Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco, right?
Or Anthony Richardson? I mean, it's got to be the great Joe Flacco. That audio of him saying that that Richardson thinks he's cool. And then Joe Flacco says,
I'm 8 days older than his mom. There's no way he thinks that I'm cool.
That's like Joe Flacco. What last year was, though, with the Cleveland Browns, you're going, hold on, does Joe Flacco still have it, or is he just the best backup quarterback you could ask for? I think that's something you could say about Flacco right now. But I kind of believe in the fact that they're going to play tough games each week. That's the thing I believe.
All right, let's go to cut number three because, I mean, it was the last game we saw yesterday, but man, oh man, this might be the most impressive performance.
This is from the Cowboys game.
Oh, well, son of a gun. Never mind. The point is, you know what? That's my fault because I assumed Derrick Henry touchdown was from last night. But as how quickly I forget that Derrick Henry
has lots of touchdowns.
Also ran wild against the Cowboys.
That.
That's my fault. I apologize for that, Alec. The Baltimore Ravens just beat the crap out of Buffalo. Do you take a step back and you're like, hey, Buffalo's still good, but maybe they're not like definitely the best team. Do you look at the Ravens?
Yeah, everybody can game plan for somebody.
Yes, I agree with that.
And the Ravens had the perfect game plan, and maybe the Bills thought they were smelling themselves a little too much, a little too confident, and after being 3-0, they go up against a really good team, and they're like, oh, crap. But Josh Allen needs to take a step into the ice bath today. He got beat up by the Ravens last night.
One, Josh Allen's no Sam Darnold. Two.
As we've all said.
Yes.
You know, we've often said that.
Yeah. They could only dream. That's why Darnold was picked higher in that draft.
Facts.
They got it right. They just went to the wrong team.
I guess technically that is factually accurate.
Josh Allen is having to carry an average team at best.
I agree.
And so I think you saw Baltimore, who I know got off to an 0-2 start, now 2-2. I think you saw that if Josh Allen... One, maybe can't have a good game. Two, because I was watching a little bit on the plane, is he didn't really have like a lot of time to make great decisions and great plays, but he can carry a team to a victory. He's that great, Josh Allen. But you do have to give him a little bit of something to give him a chance.
On the flip side, do you look at Baltimore now and you're thinking, well, they brain farted in the fourth quarter against the Raiders, which the Ravens are apt to do. And then maybe they could have got that toe down and gotten the 2-point conversion away from people being like,
yeah,
dude, this is the team.
I don't think you were sitting there thinking that they weren't going to wind up in a
good,
successful position at the end of the year. They had a bad start to the season. And you're right, that toe and those little things that count there. Now, I think they're still a competitive team. They have a lot of pride in that locker room, too. And they're a well-coached organization. The organization from top to bottom is really good. So, I think they're going to be all right.
I mean, I know I sarcastically, but seriously, I was impressed that somehow the Broncos won that game just by how bad their passing game was. But if it's not that one, for me, it's got to be Baltimore. Just okay. And it's not like they poured it on in the fourth quarter. They were whooping Buffalo's ass from the first time Derrick Henry got the ball throughout the rest of the game. Like, this game was not competitive.
Yeah, and I'll go back to the Washington game, Kevin. That one was not competitive either.
Yep,
and that was almost like, that's almost the perfect football game right there.
I'm sticking with my Sammy D.
I like it.
That guy went to Green Bay and then played another great game.
I'm really glad that you said that, because one of the notes I was making for Overreaction or Reality this week is Sam Darnold is a legitimate MVP candidate. And you're right.
I'll ask you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
Your top three MVP candidates now.
He's in the top three. I'll have to think about where he fits.
Dak second in yards.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
Stop it.
Right here on 105.3.
I just said a fact. I don't know what you want me to do about it.
Corey, coming up next.
He has more passing yards than Sammy D.
It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right. Back from the trip, I speak about the last days in Oakland next.
Here's the set and the pitch. And he struck him out swinging on a slider to end the season. The Rangers win today 8-0, their 12th shutout of the year, and finish the season 78-84.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All I know is this. If you have Nathan Eovaldi pitching the last game of your season, you're guaranteed a win.
Hell yeah.
Game 5 of the World Series.
Good point.
Who started?
Eovaldi.
Who shut out the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Eovaldi.
Who shut out the fighting Angels yesterday?
Vaunted.
Angels.
I was wondering if they were doing cutoffs and relay practice at 10 a.m. yesterday. They didn't. And they probably needed to, because they then had another bad cutoff and relay in the last game of the season. All right. So anyways, enough about that. The Angels are not good. Well, you know what? Not enough about that. I thought this was interesting from Ron Washington after getting swept by the Chicago White Sox and then coming home. And this was before getting swept by the Rangers. Is he said, I don't have any big league players after the White Sox series. And he said, look, that was a little bit taken out of context. And then his quote the next day was before the Rangers series. I'm not saying I don't have big league players. Mm. What I'm saying is they haven't developed into big league players.
Like, so kind of the same.
Ron, you're saying the same thing. You're saying that you're hopeful that they become big league players, but they're not big league players. And I watched that series. I think he's right in what he's saying, but I don't think it's the best thing to say to these 26 guys on your team, because
probably not.
They're probably not too pleased that you just said all of us are non-big league players. But Ron is Ron, man. He's like, I'm going to give you my honest thoughts on this. I have 26 guys that I don't really think can win at a major league level. And they kind of proved it in the last week of the season. Now, the first stop on the road trip that I was lucky enough to go on was going to Oakland. And they had good crowds there all 3 days. But the last day there, it's very tough to explain, but to go to a place where they're going to be celebrated because it's the last time you can ever see your team play in your city. But then the sadness that goes along with that this is the last time you're ever going to see your team play in this city. It was... all I can say is the word you can use is emotional, because it had different emotions. It had the emotion of happiness. It had the emotion of sadness as the game progressed. And you could feel it throughout the weekend. But really, as you got to about the seventh inning, you could feel the anger that had built up, that we've celebrated this team for 7 innings now. And now it's time to show our displeasure with owner John Fisher and maybe even somewhat the city of Oakland, maybe just the surrounding areas, that they couldn't ever figure out through a 20-plus year history of how to get a new stadium in that area. So being there, Dave Raymond, I thought, was cooking Thursday afternoon. I mean, he talked about different things that I didn't really know about because he went to Stanford. So he was in area. His first major league job was with the Giants. So he was in that area. So he experienced what it's like to be a Oakland Athletics fan versus a San Francisco Giants fan. And he talked about John Fisher and just how horrible of an owner that he's been throughout. I think he bought the team in 05, if I have the year right.
It feels like everyone agrees on that part, except for John Fisher.
Yeah, and maybe Rob Manfred.
That could be.
Yeah. But, man, there were a few times. I don't know about you guys. If one of you guys start crying, I'm going to start feeling choked up too, because I can feel your, whether it's anger, sadness, both combined, I'm going to feel it too. Just like I can feel your joy or happiness in something that has really given you pure joy or pure happiness. And to hear Dave talking about the sadness and the anger that he felt for the Bay Area, which he does love. Going to college there and then kind of becoming a big league announcer, a broadcaster there. It got to me. And then you just see the faces of people as you look into the crowd and you just see the emotions they're going through. And I can't imagine being a fan of whether it's the Rangers, the Cowboys, the Mavericks, the Stars. The Stars is a little bit weird because they came here while I was in high school, but to lose a team, we've never lost a team. Now, I guess if you were a fan of the Dallas Texans, you lost a team, or the Dallas Chaparrals, who are now the San Antonio Spurs, or now the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I guess you have gone through somewhat of losing a team, but you have to be a lot older. Yeah.
And they've won, I know it's been a while, but since they came to Oakland, they won 4 World Series. Like, can you imagine if over your life you saw the Rangers win 3 more World Series and then in like 30 years, they're like, yep, moving the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be devastating.
And it was just approximately a decade ago they made the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, they were a good team with Matt Olson and Matt Chapman and Grant Balfour. And I will tell you this, this isn't going to make Ranger fans happy, but they would play this kind of 4-minute, hey, the Oakland Coliseum. And maybe it was like 2 to 4 minutes, somewhere in there. And they would play all of these great memories, whether it was you hated it or not. Like, that's where the wave was created. I didn't know that.
Oh.
Whether it's obviously talking about Catfish Hunter and Reggie Jackson and Raleigh Fingers and the dynasty, if you don't know, 72 through 74.
Won three straight.
Yeah, and it was only broken up because, believe it or not, their owner was super cheap back then, even though they did have a great stadium and everything, and they had the best team in baseball by far. Charles Finley broke that team up that was probably going to win another championship somewhere between like 75 and 78. I'm not saying they would have won all of them. There was obviously the Big Red Machine. There were other teams, the Royals, you know. There were good teams back then, too.
In 75, they still won 98 games.
Yeah, so they had a chance to have another championship through that dynasty in the early 70s, but Finley refused to pay the players, and then the Players Association, that's when they really stepped in. That was like really where the Players Association had another big step forward in arbitration and things like that, where you just can't offer guys that just won 3 back-to-back championships another $500 raise. Like, there has to be more to it, then you have total control over these players. But going forward, just the only thing I could think about, guys, that in our lifetime that it felt like, and I didn't go to it because it was so expensive to go to, and it's different because it's just a person, is the last game ever of Dirk Nowitzki here. In 2019, I guess it was the 18-19 season, is the last game ever of Dirk Nowitzki. And knowing you'll never see him play basketball again, but you knew it was time. Like, he didn't have much left, but it was still the celebration of, this is it. There's no anger. There was maybe a little bit of sadness that arguably the greatest athlete in Dallas-Fort Worth history, his 21 years was coming to an end. And so it was just like, you get to see it one more time. It's not the same anymore. Kind of like Oakland Coliseum is not the same anymore. Yeah. This is where I was going to go. They play that through that thing where they show all the greatness of Oakland, they do play "And the Sun Was on Our Side" in 2012. They play that every day there, of the Josh Hamilton missed fly ball. And I forgot this. Do you remember who was on the mound for that missed fly ball?
I do not.
Derek Holland.
It's Derek Holland.
Oh.
So he points up, like, there's the ball. And then the magic of the Oakland sky, this is where then Wyatt Lankford, a rookie, has trouble with the Oakland sky on the final game, and the winning run was scored because of the Oakland sky against the Texas Rangers. So there was just this magic that's happening. A few Ranger fans, not many. I don't go to Twitter much, X or whatever, but they're like, I can't believe you said this. Because at the end of the game ends, and we're going to stick with it because Oakland players are going to go onto the field and thank the city of Oakland. And I said, look, I'm not crazy about when the Rangers lose. It doesn't make me feel good. But this one, seeing 50,000 people celebrate in a game that meant absolutely nothing to the Texas Rangers, it was okay. It actually felt right. And somebody's like, I can't believe it. You want to spoil that one, and you're a Ranger. I'm like, hey, if it was for a playoff spot, or this costs the Rangers a chance to compete for a playoff spot, I wouldn't have been good with it. But in that moment, that situation, those people needed that.
They're losing their team forever.
And they've already lost all their teams.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, maybe. We actually might need to dive back into that. But I was thinking about, like, when Texas Stadium closed, it's not like the team was going away. They're just going to a new building.
Moving up the road.
And I think that's a valid point. That's why I asked you that before the show this morning, because that thought crossed my mind.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oakland is a dying city. It's horrible. I hate saying it, but man, when you're driving from San Francisco, we don't even stay in Oakland. Nobody stays in Oakland. Not Oakland players don't stay in Oakland.
Oh man.
It's a town that's dying, and it's lost its football team. It's lost its basketball team. And the basketball team is at least a 20-minute drive or a 30-minute drive across the bay to San Francisco, but they've lost everything. They don't have sports anymore, and I don't know how they'd get it back. There is a small hope that there's small hope from Oakland fans that John Fisher is such a pathetic owner.
Yes.
That for approximately two decades, he couldn't figure out how to even come close to getting a stadium anywhere in the Oakland area, that they're like, he's not going to figure it out in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, by the way, Las Vegas has not agreed to be the home of the Athletics. They haven't blown up that
it's
casino
still
here, yet.
We just saw, yeah.
They have done nothing to get ready to take on the Las Vegas Athletics. I don't think it's happening. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Las Vegas becomes the home of the Athletics. I could be wrong. I think they're going to play in Sacramento. And by the way, for another time, I guess, I know I'm out of time, but agents do not want any of their players. I'm not talking about just Athletics. They don't want any of their players going and playing a game in Sacramento.
Whew. What a spirited addition.
So Manfred's dealing with that, as all the agents are calling up baseball and going, we are not playing in Sacramento. We're not playing in Sacramento.
I don't know what just happened.
I like the way you said
but
that.
But the A's fans basically think that their owner is such a blockhead that he can't get this thing taken care of.
He won't get Vegas done either, so they might have to start searching again in the Bay Area for a place.
Good grief.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.